There's also a spate of business books, of all things, and sort of self-help books for business people, including one called Power Plays, Shakespeare's Lessons in Leadership and Management. I had a chance to speak with the authors of the book, John Whitney, who was a CEO in the 1970s and now teaches a very popular class at Columbia Business School, and the Shakespearean director and former actress Tina Packer, who began our conversation with a pithy quote from the Bard.
There is a tide in the affairs of men, which, taken at the flood, leads on to fortune. Omitted, all the voyage of their life is bound in shallows and in miseries.
Now, Tina Packer and John Whitney, how does that rather downbeat passage from Julius Caesar help the contemporary 21st century business person in conducting his or her affairs?
Well, on the surface, it helps a lot because we do know that if we're going to take action, there's a time to take action. Timing is not everything, but it might be everything else in business.
Your book is the latest in what looks like a spate of books attempting to derive guidance for business people. Why Shakespeare and why now?
Well, there is a tide in the affairs of men, which taken at the flood.
It's like an eight ball. It can answer everything, can't he, the Bard?
And Tina, how many books about Shakespeare have been written in the last 400 years?
There are literally thousands of books written every year and in many, many languages, not just in the English language, written about Shakespeare. So the fact that suddenly the business world, too, has really plugged into Shakespeare is not surprising. And also people are looking for something, some other way. I mean, we're in a time of such change, and you need some kind of map. And so where do you go for a map? Shakespeare has maps for the psychological, the philosophical, the political, and he has maps for how the business world works because he was a businessman as well as everything else.
Oh, I've felt for over 50 years that he speaks more forcefully to the problems of leaders and managers than almost anybody before or since. Now, that makes some of my academic friends unhappy who write about leadership. But nevertheless, when you look at the things he said. Look at Julius Caesar, for instance, and hear the great speech. He says, "I'm constant as the northern star." Well, I see CEOs all the time who say, "I'm constant as the northern star," and some of them meet the same fate that that Julius Caesar.
But now, what about other characters and plots in Shakespeare? Do they give pause to the CEO who thinks he's on top of the world, the Richard II's, the Iagos, the...
Well, we both love Richard II because he's such a skipping king, you know. He's running around with the equivalent of his jets and his perks and his young men and his, you know, all the kind of trappings and symbols of I am the best, I am the greatest, I am just wonderful, while his business is going to hell in a handbasket, you know. I mean, he just is making a terrible mess of things. And of course, he thought that he could rule because he had the right to rule, and therefore that was all he needed. Yet it's clearly demonstrated that nobody has the right to rule. You have to be really good at leading people in order to be able to be effective, whether you're leading a kingdom or a corporation.
One of the most familiar and explicit passages in Shakespeare about business life, of course, is about borrowing and lending.
Ah, well, borrowing and lending was a huge topic in Elizabethan England. So it was not, I mean, when he wrote Merchant of Venice, this was something that was being hotly debated. I think it was in 1575, they had passed a law in England saying, yes, you could lend money. It still wasn't really, you know, it was frowned on somewhat. You could lend money, but you couldn't lend it at more than 10%. And this began to open up the great floodgates of it, because you can't really do business unless you can.
And thus capitalism began.
Yes, indeed. You know, it is the first beginning of the first merchant banks and things like that. But it seems that as he was writing Merchant of Venice, Shakespeare's own father was lending money and was twice fined, by the by, for lending money at more than 10%. And Shakespeare himself lent money.
Was Shakespeare in his own life as a man of the theater a good businessman?
He was a very good businessman. He bought the second largest house in Stratford. He ended up extremely wealthy, and he didn't get it from being an actor. You know, he was an actor, and I my own sense is that he was a pretty good actor. And he got, what, £5 or £6 per script for his play. So he wrote, what, 39 plays? How much is that? You know, not enough to be the richest man in Stratford. Where he got it from was being a shareholder in the company. So he was one of 7 or 8 men who owned that playhouse. That meant he was watching what money came in and what money went out. And he was doing that week after week after week after week. You know,
which must reassure your students in business and business school that they're learning from somebody who knew how to manage money.
Oh, he understood the free market very, very well. He would tinker with his plays. If he did a play and the people didn't like it, he'd keep tinkering with it till he got it so they did like it.
How modern. John Whitney, Tina Packer, thank you so much for joining me today.
It's been fun.
Thank you.